Can a person tell if you've been saved? Are there characteristics? Are the things that are conspicuous, things that are observable in your life that testify to the fact that you have been with Jesus? Is Jesus alive? Did he really resurrect on the third day? Does his spirit really abide with a believer? Is there something special? Is there a unique power that the people of God have within them? Is there something to transform and change their life that's observable to a lost and dying world? Can you tell whether somebody is walking with the Lord and living for the Lord? Is Christianity conspicuous? Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. In the fourth chapter book of Acts, there are a few passages of Scripture. Actually, there's a response by the Apostle Peter. Peter and John had been to the temple to pray. They went in the hour of prayer at about 9 o'clock in the morning. We read this in the first few verses of the third chapter of Acts. And there was a lame man sitting by the gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hey man, that guy got up. He began to walk and leap and shout and run through the temple. He was 40 years old. And from birth, he had not been able to walk. But in the name of Jesus, his legs received strength. His ankles were reformed. That man went through the temple shouting and praising God, and all the people were amazed, and this drew a crowd. Peter began to preach to them. We read about this in the third chapter of Acts. Peter began to preach to them Jesus. Jesus crucified. Jesus resurrected. How that if they would repent, they would receive a spiritual refreshment from the presence of the Lord. You read about that in the third chapter of the book of Acts. I believe it's verse 19, "Repent ye, therefore." I'm glad that we still hear sermons preached on repentance today. That if people will really repent and believe, that they'll receive a spiritual revival or renewal or spiritual change in their heart and life. And he preached that and 5,000 got saved. Wow. I believe that's the last verse of the third chapter. If I'm not mistaken, no, it's about fourth verse of the fourth chapter. 5,000 heard and got saved. This upset people. This upset people in the city. This upset the Sanhedrin council. This upset those that were associated with the high priest. And the high priest himself got upset. They arrested Peter and John. And then the next day, they brought them in before this council. And this council that was held there in Jerusalem is recorded. They gave answer for themselves in what they were doing here in the fourth chapter. And I want to begin reading about this in verse 7. Here's the question they asked. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the empty man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, both this man stand here before you whole.'" Amen. Jesus did this thing. We need to have that kind of testimony today. If people see anything unique or different about our lives, we need to testify to the fact that it was Jesus that did it. If they see something good done by us or through us, we need to testify that Jesus is that good by which it is done. This amazing miracle of this man being healed. They were given an answer about it, and they said it was done by Jesus Christ. "This is the stone which was set to naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, see, I think that's one of the characteristics of spending time with Jesus. It will make you bold. They saw that Peter and John were bold. Not only this, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they detected that they were Galileans, and Galileans usually didn't have much of an education. Galileans weren't proper in a lot of the religious things that were done in Jerusalem. They perceived where they were from, and perhaps they didn't have a grand and glorious education. But notice something. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It is a grand privilege to have been with Jesus. It's a grand privilege today to know Jesus Christ, to be able to fellowship with Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, to experience the goodness of Jesus Christ is a wonderful privilege. And those of us that have had that privilege, our friends, our family, our co-workers, our neighbors, should take note and marvel that we also had and have been with Jesus. Can you detect whether somebody is living for the Lord or is close to the Lord or walking with the Lord, spending time with Jesus? Peter on this particular occasion was filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you tell when somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you? Amen. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And we can usually tell when someone's been with Jesus. I can usually tell when you guys have been on vacation, you come back all tan. I can usually tell when you've been to Florida, you've been camping. I can usually tell when you've been too long underneath the tanning bed. Right? I'm saying this morning, you can tell when somebody's with the sun, S-O-N, and been in the presence of the Lord. Was there something about Moses' appearance when he came down off of Mount Sinai? After he had spent some time with God, saw the backside of God, saw the very finger of God, write the Ten Commandments. He came down off that mountain and his face glowed. The glory of the Lord was upon him. They had to put a veil over his face because his face shines so bright. People, we need to turn up the lamps. We need to become brighter and brighter and move from glory to glory, like it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We need to get closer to the Lord and let our light shine. Jesus said his people would be the light of the world, and we should be a city that sitteth on a hill that cannot be hid. I don't believe God's people should hide their lights. We shouldn't hide a candlestick underneath the bushel. No, we should let our light shine to a lost and dying world. Yes, I believe that you can tell when somebody has been with Jesus. These men, the Sanhedrin Council, these religious leaders realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. Well, what's that entail? I believe there are three primary areas. You must be with Jesus experimentally. You must really know Jesus before somebody can detect that you've been with Jesus. You must know Him experimentally. You must have an intimate relationship with Him. Intimately know Him and cherish Him. I believe there needs to be regular communion with Him in order for people to detect that we have been with Jesus. Well, let's begin with this experimental aspect. Had Peter and John experienced the power of Jesus? Did they know the power of Jesus? Had they been acquainted with the power of Jesus? I'm telling you this morning, the cross, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, from the Jew first and also the Greek. Those of us that have really experienced salvation know the power of Jesus, how that it's able to transform your life, move you from a state of darkness to a state of light. Amen? Yes. Move you from a state of being a child of the devil to a child of God. Amen. Isn't that powerful? To transform your life from being a part of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. There's no greater power in all the world than the power of Jesus. Jesus stood before He left and He told His disciples, He told His church, I have all power in heaven and earth. I still contend He has all power in heaven and earth today. They were acquainted with, they had experienced the power of Jesus in their own hearts and in their own lives. I could go through occasion, incident after incident, time after time, how when they walked with the Lord. Peter walked on the water. Remember reading that last Sunday? Peter walked on the water. That's powerful. They had seen the power of Jesus. Keep in mind that Peter and John had just told a man to get up that had never walked a day in his life. For 40 years, this man had no strength in his legs. They walked by him and said, and as he was begging alms of them, they said, silver and gold have we none. That may be the problem in the church today. The reason we can't say get up and walk is because we have too much silver and gold. Silver and gold have I not, but that which I have I give unto you. Do you have something in your heart today that came from God that you need to share with others? Is there something that came from God that's of more value than silver and gold? Oh yes, in the heart and life of the believer, there's something very precious. The seed of God. Something more important than your occupation. Something more important than your money. Something more important than your house. Something more important than you. It's greater than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than all this world. It's so great that unless the world receives it and takes hold of it, they will die and go to hell. How great is that greatness within you? Is it powerful? They had experienced this power. You cannot be a witness of Jesus Christ until you experience His saving power. Amen. You must know it for yourself. You must be acquainted with it for yourself. I've experienced the power of God. I've experienced His saving grace. There is to be a time in your life where you come to know Him. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, this is eternal life, to know the only true God and His Son whom He has sent. You must know God for yourself. You must have experienced the saving work of grace for yourself before you can be a witness to the world about it. Jesus taught us. He taught us that we must know Him. I believe it's a reality for us. You must really know Him before people can detect that you've been with Him. You must experience Him. It must be a personal thing for you and with you before you can be a witness to the presence of Jesus Christ. Unless Jesus is genuinely and really savingly in you, people cannot detect that you've been with the Lord. All but those who've experienced His grace. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and 19, and we know that we are of God. Are you of God today? See, there's a distinction. There must be a difference between us, the people of God, and the people of this world. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you know you're a child of God. You know that you are of God. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, he said, we know that we are of God. And the whole world, the rest of the people of this world, they are in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know. Is there something that you know deep and down in your heart? He says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given unto us understanding. And we, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, the eternal life. Do you have that kind of eternal life? To be with Christ is to be forgiven of Christ. That's what I'm saying. To be with Christ is to have experienced the forgiveness of sin. To have a testimony, a time and a place. If you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ and had your sins washed away, you need to be saved. Don't tell people you're a Christian if you can't tell of a time and a place where the Lord forgave you of sin. If there's not a place and a time where you were born again of the Spirit of God, where God comes into your heart and life, where that spiritual distinction is made deep down in your soul, which lets you know that you're a child of God, don't profess to be a Christian. You're not a Christian unless you're saved by the grace of God. Experimentally, they knew Him. Peter and John had been saved by the grace of God. Not only that, but they knew the power of God. After you get saved, you experience His power. Huh? Right? Raise your hand if you've ever experienced the power of God. Amen. Okay, good, good. I'm glad that we've experienced His power. We need to cherish that relationship. I believe the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ must be intimate. There must be a cherished, enjoyable relationship that you have with Jesus. It must be realized. We must have a fellowship with Christ. That we are of one spirit with Christ. That we love Him and rejoice in Him. He must be precious to us. He must be our beloved. He must be our friend. He must be the delight of our soul. In Psalms 18 and 1, the psalmist said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In Him I will trust, my buckler. And He said, my horn and my salvation, my high tower. We must have that kind of embrace and that kind of fellowship and that kind of relationship with the Lord where we realize that Jesus is our everything. Without Him, we're nothing. He is the one that keeps us strong. He's the one that keeps us firm. We need to realize this morning that without Jesus, we're nothing. That closeness, that intimacy, that fellowship, that relationship, our hearts pant after it, the deer pants after the brook. We desire it. We must have it. We can't live without it. Are there times in your life where you feel like that Christ is drifting away from you? Well, He's not drifting away from you. You're drifting away from Christ. Are there times in your life where you become cold and indifferent? Just don't have that closeness that you once had. Oh, come on now. Don't hold up your hand, though. Sometimes that happens in our relationships. Well, between husband and wives. Sometimes it's not always as strong as it was our wedding night, huh? It's not as strong as it was sometimes when we were young and dating. But we must keep it strong. Are you listening to me? We must keep our relationships intact. We must work at it. If you want an intimate relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to work at it. If you want to stay close to the Lord, it's going to require some effort on your part. There must be regular communication with Him. The psalmist went on and said in verse 3 of that 18th chapter, he said, I will call upon the Lord. He said, He is worthy of praise. He saves me from my enemy. I believe if we really want an intimate fellowship with the Lord, then we'll regularly pray. We'll praise Him. We'll meditate upon His Word. We'll have communion with Him. You're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. Amen. If you want people to detect that you've been with Jesus. Here's the problem. All right, here's the problem. We want people to detect that we've been with Jesus when we've really not been with Jesus. Think about that. Some of you are doing that. You want people to think
that you've been with Jesus when you've really not been with Jesus. Oh, come on now. Huh? If you want people to know that you've been with Jesus, you need to spend time with Jesus. You need to pray. You need to study His Word. Amen? You need to meditate. There are times where you need to get away by yourself and you need to think on the things of God. You need to talk to the Lord. You need to pray to Him. You need to interact with Him. Your soul must have communion with Him if you want people to know that you've been with Him. We have a fraud, fake Christianity that wants the world to detect a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when in reality there is no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. When you have a regular relationship with the Lord through prayer, through meditation, through study of His Word, that testifies of Him, that reveals more of Him to us. I believe when you study God's Word, it fills your soul with more knowledge of the Lord. When you attend church, when you go to Bible study, why is Bible study so important? Because it fills us with more knowledge. We come to know Him better. I instruct every marital couple that I marry to get books and learn about one another. Y'all remember that? Those of you that went through the premarital counseling classes? To never stop learning about your spouse, because you can't figure out those women. You need to study a lot the rest of your life. All right? I don't know how it is on the other end. I'm sure the women say, hey, you can't understand them men. You better get some books. You have to study about them the rest of your life. They are weird men. They're weird. They do strange things. Yeah. I knew. Probably all the women can say amen. The problem is we think we know one another. But we go through different changes, don't we? I mean, you go through different stages in your marriage. You go through midlife and you go through empty nest syndrome, and there's all these different biological, psychological, whatever they are. We are biologically different, by the way. Men and women are biologically different. And it's a constant, perpetual studying process. And if you haven't picked up a good book about women, or you haven't picked up a good book about men, and I'm talking about Christian books, okay? Don't go to Red Book, okay? That is not your source of understanding your spouse. There are good Christian books that will point you in the right direction. There are things in Scripture that reveal to us how to live with one another. And we need to study those things out. Some of you have bad marriages, and it's your own fault. I'll say it again. Some of you have bad marriages, and it's your own fault. There's nobody to blame but you. And you know, we do that. We think we know. Young couples come into my office or getting married. They think they know how to be a husband or to be a wife. Isn't that funny? I thought I knew how to be one. When Angie got pregnant, I thought I knew how to be a father too. And some of you think you know how to have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But unless you perpetually and continually study about the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him, your fellowship with Him will deteriorate. You cannot maintain a close relationship and fellowship with the Lord unless you study God's holy word. It requires some effort on your part. I believe listening to the sermons preached,
listening to good Bible teaching, going to Sunday school, going to Bible study is to your advantage in having a better relationship with the Lord and shining for the Lord.
Amen.
Sheep like to flock together. Amen. I believe another indication of this. I believe we need to attend church. You want to shine for the Lord? You need to worship with God's people. I know people are saying, well, I can be as good a Christian out of church as in the church. That is unscriptural. That is a doctrine straight out of hell. It is not from God.
Amen.
Sheep like to flock together. We draw strength from one another. There's a watchfulness. We watch for one another. We pray with one another. We work together. We are the body of Christ. We interact with one another to the glory of Jesus Christ. We maintain His doctrines. I believe Jesus meets with His church when they meet together in His name. He promised whether two or three meet together in His name, He said He'd be in the midst. I believe when we come together and we preach the gospel, when we uphold His ordinances, when we preach His doctrines, I believe those doctrines you read, Brother JT, Jesus always honors the truth. The Holy Spirit empowers and honors the truth. When we meet together to observe the Lord's Supper, Jesus is here. Some of you have been saved and members of this church since I've been pastor, and you have never been to a Lord's Supper. Shame on you. How can you shine for Jesus when you won't keep His ordinance? He demanded, He commanded us to keep His ordinances. And all the deacons said, amen. That's right. It is an ordinance of God, authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ, put in His church. How can we shine for Jesus if we do not keep His word? He said this, Jesus did. John chapter 8 verse 31. If you continue in My word, that's in other words, if you do what I tell you to do, then are you My disciples indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Some of the misery in your life is you're just not trying to live for the Lord. No better. Just not trying to live close to the Lord. Yes, it's hard to live close to the Lord. But the benefits, the rewards. There are occasions in our lives where we learn special lessons of grace by walking with the Lord. We develop a greater understanding of truth as we live for Him and work for Him. And when we're His sheep that He died for to preserve and protect, He will lead us to green pastures. We'll look up and there are occasions where He comes and He says, you've drifted a little far from the fold, Buster. Or He'll come along and examine us and find some insects in our ears. And He'll say, it's time to dig those ears out. Did your dogs hate that? Those of you had dogs, huh? Time to clip those toenails. Time to put a little, look, I see some red stuff in the eye. We need to put some salve in there and get that fixed. Oh, it burns, Jesus. Yeah, there are times in our lives where Jesus comes along and He chastens us. He cleanses us. He watches out for us. He gives us inoculation from the world. Some of y'all getting that inoculation from the world stuff. Not pleasant, is it? But it's needful. It keeps you healthy. It's Jesus, the good shepherd, that He said in John chapter 10, gave His life for the sheep, doesn't occasionally come and correct you with a staff. If He doesn't occasionally cleanse you and inoculate you and give you one of those shots, like I was talking about, maybe you're not one of His sheep, you might be a goat. I may not know the difference, Wanda. But the Lord Jesus does. The story behind that is, in Israel, y'all, some of them don't know that story, do they? When we were in Israel, there was this big herd of sheep, and I got the bus driver to stop, and I wanted to get one of those pictures, you know, with a lamb on my shoulder, like you've seen Jesus, you know, with a lamb on his shoulder. I jumped off the bus, and I went over to this, she didn't speak English, and I was trying to tell her what I wanted, and gave her a dollar, a couple of dollars or something, and I picked up this animal, put it on my shoulder. I said, y'all get a picture. Yeah. They click. I got back on the bus and they were laughing at me, and I said, what? They said, you just got a picture of a goat on your shoulder. I may not know the difference between sheep and goat. I'm a city boy, okay? But the Lord Jesus Christ does. Amen. He said, his sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. When's the last time you've heard the voice of the shepherd? Have you drifted so far away from him and the fold of God? You're up in the mountains and you can no longer hear his voice. Have you drifted so far out there in sin and in the world? You might say, well, I didn't commit some hideous sin. You know, many times the sheep would just simply put their head down and get to eating, and they'd get so involved in themselves. Huh? Then they suddenly raised their head up and, uh-oh, where'd the rest of them go? We see church members do that all the time, don't we? You get so absorbed in your own life, your own stuff, your own self, and suddenly you lift up your head and you say, where's the Lord? I'm glad he said this. I'm glad that he said that of those the Father had given him, he's never lost any. Are you? Yeah. He said in John 10:16, he says, of another fold I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. We are soldiers in his army. In 2 Timothy 2:3, the Bible says that we are to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ, that we're to endure some hardness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're not to entangle ourselves. Look there in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We have some military families here. Listen, once you sign up for the military... Yeah. It's theirs. You're theirs. They clothe you. They tell you what to do. You are not entangled in this natural life or civilian life anymore. You go where they tell you to go. You do what they tell you to do. You're not your own anymore. And when you join up with the Lord Jesus Christ and His army, you're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. You're His. You don't entangle yourself in with this life anymore. You're a soldier. And what he tells you to do, you need to do it. Amen. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Maybe you've not received a command from the captain lately. It might be because you're a deserter. You're no longer with the rest of the group. Listen, if you're on foreign soil in a dangerous area, to leave your battalion and just wander off, that could be dangerous. Right? You depend on your other soldiers, your other brethren, to keep you safe. Let's be careful that we don't wander off, because there's a lot of enemy warfare there. I believe we need to receive regularly a direction from the Lord for our lives. You know, last Sunday I talked about David. Do you know why David never lost one single military battle? Do you know why he never lost one single military battle? Because he wouldn't go into battle unless the Lord told him he could win it. There in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he would call for the ephod and said, "Bring me the ephod, I need to pray." And he would ask the Lord every time and say, "Lord, should I go up against this group? Don't let me go up unless I can win." You know, the church needs that kind of direction today. Yeah. And I believe that those that have a close walk with the Lord can find the will of the Lord for their lives. A clear direction from the Lord. Where the Lord says, "Go up! Take this city, it's yours!" When's the last time you received that kind of clear direction from the Lord? Maybe we're not walking as close to the Lord as we think. Maybe we're deceiving ourselves. The characteristics of having been with Jesus are manifested. They are revealed. There's a certainty. There's evidence about those that have been with Jesus that was detectable in the days of Peter and John and should be detectable today. I appreciate your attention. Those three areas, I had others, but those are the three main ones. Experimentally, you have to know in your own heart that you've been saved. The Lord has to be in you, and you have to be in the Lord. If you don't have that, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Intimately. After you get saved, you have to stay close to the Lord. There's demons. There's demonic forces. There's the world. Your own wickedness, your own depraved heart is pulling you away from Jesus. And you have to stay close to Him to have that intimately secured relationship with Him. And this has to be regularly done, doesn't it? We need to regularly pray and praise Him and worship Him and receive a word from Him. If we need direction from Him, He can give it. He can supply it. There's been occasions in my life I needed an answer. I didn't know what to do. I didn't trust anybody's opinion. I needed the word from the Lord. Is that possible for God's people to receive? Is it possible for God's people to get a word from the Lord? You may be confused today. You don't know. You're not sure about something. If it's pertaining to your life, pertaining to your spirituality, pertaining to your witness, you don't know how to handle it or what to do, you get on your knees and you call on the Lord, you call for the ephod. Bring me the ephod. I've got to have the word from the Lord. Don't do anything till you get His word. Don't do anything. Wait till God tells you, "This is what I need to do." There are some things, if we do on our own, we'll make a mess of it. Oh, but when we're directed and guided by the Lord, what a blessing it is. I appreciate your attention. Can people detect or take knowledge that you have been with Jesus?